So let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that your basic instructions wouldn't just be things we hear, but they'd be things we'd let change us again, like when we first started following you. When we fell so in love because what you forgave us from, we start following you. Lord, I pray that that kind of passion come out of some basic things. And you would do things in the church that we couldn't possibly dream of. In Jesus' name, amen. So we will be in the book of Matthew during this series until we're not. Till Christmas. Apparently they're till Christmas. And I knew that. I was aware that we have a Christmas series, so it'll be winding down sometime before Christmas. At New Season, we'll be studying the what of what Jesus had to say. And I know we know it. We've heard it before. But I want to challenge you with a puzzle. I want to challenge you, the church. Say, I'm the church. I want to challenge you, the church, to have new ears. To have brand new ears this season of hearing something just for you. Out of the red letters, like, have new ears. And I learned a lot about ears recently, in the Christmas season ears. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter, and I was in a, you know, very intellectual debate with my wife, the difference between elves and gnomes. They're popping up, you know, I'm like, that's a gnome, that's not an elf. And so I asked an expert, asked a 5-year-old, and this is what I got. Oh, you could tell the difference, elves and gnomes, Papa. Elves have really long, pointy ears, and when they lie, their noses grow. Those are elves. The gnomes are the other bearded guys. Okay, great. Yeah. So the ears, you know, grow, and that's what I learned thing about elves. You know, it was good for me. It was a new concept. I thought I knew Christmas, and then I just got my mind blown, you know. So I don't know. So before we deep dive into the red letters, season 4, some of you, I don't know if y'all have been around for all the seasons, but season 4, I'm going to give us a very mini little recap. I say mini for this reason. I'm sure we're very familiar with Matthew chapter 1 through 12. All of us, most are familiar. Why I call it the red letters, the recap, is because when I first got saved my King James Bible, all I asked for is that Jesus' words be in red letters, because that's what I wanted to hear first. I wanted to just find out what he had to say. If he's the Messiah, I wanted to know. And that's what I studied over and over, and I read over and every, you know, over. So it's the red letter series of things where I begin to follow Jesus. Does anyone remember where we left off following Jesus? No. And I met Matthew, not personally in your walk, just so you know. I'm praying about a Return to Deep Root series as our very next series. And maybe sometime after Christmas, doing a series on the Holy Spirit. Now relax, relax. I've always have a deep concern for the topic, and I want to do my best to teach it well as I can, because there's two sides of the ditch often in the church that show up when you do that. I'm not saying here, I'm just saying I've been around. This is my almost 20th year being here, and I'm not a spring chicken, and I've been around the church, and I've been all around this great big world, and I've seen all kind of church. I have. Been involved, moved in the Spirit, prophetic, I have a prophetic gifting. I know those things, right? So we talk about the Holy Spirit, we often see these ditches. One of the ditches, the over-dramatizers of the Holy Spirit, and the overemphasis of the gifts, and at times, unscriptural flakiness. Ah, it's a ditch. I like that ditch. It often caused me trouble. I feel like I got to walk with my staff out and go, no, nonsense, be gone. I'm just telling you, it's a ditch. And then sometimes the other side of the ditch, the religious and arrogant, that God doesn't and can't do and won't do that kind of stuff today. The fact is, both sides are ditches. Get out of the ditch, right? Ditches we can fall in, because both ditches can kill the church. And both, at times, steal the proper focus. But on the flippity flip, say flippity flip, on the flippity flip, a refresh of the Holy Spirit can also cause big growth and big change in our lives and in our community. So be in prayer for me. Today we're going to start the red letters. I want to know what was in my heart and mind for maybe the season coming up. Father, that I would do this well today and that well tomorrow, and I would be a man of my word like more than I've ever been. In Jesus' name. Amen. During our best to understand and grasp these red letters this season, we'll start in Matthew 13:1 real quick, because then I'm going to have to pull over already in the first verse. Ready? That same day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. That same day. Oh, you may recall at the end of season 3, Red Letters, chapter 12, Jesus was having a busy day. And from my angle, I have to be honest, when I read this and when I read it today, I read it the same. You don't have to read it that way. I have a temperament that would maybe tend to read it this way. But when I saw his busy day, I have a tendency to go, that looks stressful to me. I need a little space from the busy day. And he'd be like, I've ever busy day, go, I need a little space in my busy day. Yeah, I feel that when I read chapter 12. And here we are, it says that same day. And so I thought I'd give us a quick recap. Say, Pastor, make it quick. Yes, I will. Okay. Jesus, that same day, so far, this is the stuff he's had to deal with. You ready? First of all, Pharisees. Another conflict with Pharisees. Say, shocking. Another conflict with Pharisees about the Sabbath. You know, it's not like he's not the fulfiller of the Sabbath and his father's the creator of the Sabbath, but he had to argue with them about what the Sabbath is, right? And then more Pharisee conflicts. Say, Pharisees. They started throwing shade, devil shade on Jesus. When they could, yeah, devil, like, what is he talking about? They started saying things like, well, Jesus only does that because he works for the devil. He's like, oh, careful. That has bad consequences, right? Jesus was also performing many types of miracles on individuals. Still does it today, right? Jesus had to speak up about the unpardonable sin again. You guys remember what that is? Blasphemy, saying things that are God that aren't God, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Jesus also makes a re-emphasis on repentance. He's kind of repetitive that way. And to be honest with you, I already feel exhausted having to repeat myself sometimes, don't you? How many of you love repeating yourself to your kids? Oh man, it's crickets out there. How many love repeating yourself to anybody that you felt should be hearing you? They're like, nah, you know, that Jesus is, so he's repeating himself a bunch of same things this day, right? Jesus actually has to explain the difference between good fruit and bad fruit. He's got to take the time to explain the difference. Like, are you kidding me? It's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You got to talk about bad. What, they don't know the difference? Now we do, but we didn't either. Jesus along the way exhorts and he teaches everyone. And on top of that, he reminds us all that there's a judge. Say that same day. Anyone else ever have a challenge? Haven't been around a crowd all day? Jen Brown, thank you. I see that smile. No, seriously, like you've been around a crowd all day. Like I dropped you down in Tempe at its most thumping time, and it is bumping since 6 in the morning, and you're there at 9 o'clock at night still in the midst of it. Yet, Nick, you get pointed out by your, just saying. No matter your temperament, though, honestly, here's the truth. No matter your temperament, everyone likes at least a little bit of transition time. Right? Especially after a day begins like that. Right? I love Jesus goes to the seaside for a second. I just personally, I connect with him in there. You know, sometimes he mixes it up nonstop, Jesus. This is what he pulled me over for. He pulled me over here. He said, this is where you're terrible. He didn't say those words. That's how I heard it. He said, hey, this is where you need work. He says, sometimes, no matter how busy it is, I need you to pull over and stay busier. I know you feel drained, but in your weakness, I'm made strong. Sermon over for me, you know. But then he says, you know, and sometimes people need to get, I need some space to myself. And sometimes I needed to, y'all go off for a minute. I'll catch up. Yeah, I don't have a boat. I'll figure it out. You know, but you got to know those moments, right? They can't all be, they're not all going to be the same moments, right? So I hope we pull over today. Like really pull over and chew through this together. Matthew 3, or 13, 1 through 2, in the Amplified, red letter Cedars. That same day, still more is going to be required. Man, I feel like if your day is full by lunchtime, you should get to go home. If by lunchtime you go, oh my goodness, what time is it? 4 o'clock? Like, no, it's 12. You go, oh, you get to go home then if you feel like it's 4 o'clock. Yeah, no one would work past noon. Like we all felt like it was four. Right? We would. That same day. Ever have a day that never seems to end? Like, man, this is the longest day of my life. And if you've never flown to Samoa, I don't know if you've really experienced that. Whew, it's a long trip. That same day, Jesus went out of the house. So we got a little moment. He went into the house, okay, small moment, and was sitting by the sea. I get that. I feel that. But such large crowds, Amanda, don't stress about this. This is just Jesus going through this. I'm not going to put you in this. But can you imagine such large crowds? You just walked out of your house. Imagine in the morning, coffee drinkers, anybody? You pop your coffee out in the morning, and you walk out to get your, well, you don't get your paper anymore. You're out in your back patio watching birds, if you're me, you know? And you walk out there, and there's such large crowds there. Like, such large crowds. Be like, wow. I'd be doing this back in my door. Like, I'd pretend I didn't see him, Jen. Like, oh, what's going on out there? Nothing. Just close the blinds. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there. Now, I heard the technical things of pushing off to a boat on shore. There's an acoustic effect to reach more crowds that are naturally like speakers. And you can't hear the murmur on the shore as much. You can just have your voice amplified. I get that. But I also think there's a possibility he could just be getting some margin. Right? Because it says such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the shore. And to say no one else, Peter wasn't in the boat. Hey, y'all need to hear the same thing. You've been with me all day long. And you've been walking with me longer than the crowd, and I'm telling you the truth. That's Jesus, the disciples. You need to hear this too, so I need you with the crowd. Because sometimes the disciples, we don't think we need to hear it. Well, I know. It's prickly. Either way, Jesus is about to take a moment of teaching. Say red letters. Matthew 13, 3 through 6. And he told them many things in parables. Say parables. He told them many things in parables, saying, listen carefully. He's saying, listen carefully. Jesus is right here going, listen carefully. Why listen carefully? Because Jesus feels this is important. Say red letters. If Jesus said, hey, listen carefully, we should, as the church, listen carefully, right? Listen carefully. A sower. A sower went out to sow. Awesome. When people do their job, it's good. If a sower went out to sell cars, I'd be nervous. Well, you should be sowing, dude, because that's what you do as your sower. Okay. A sower went out to sow. And then I thought sowing has so many things, right? Are we sowing good seed into people's life? Are we sowing the stuff he asks us to do with the things he gives us? We know the scripture, you reap what you sow. So a time or two, I've been thinking, I guess, do we do that with the gospel in our lives? Do we do that with our money? Do we do that with our time? Are we even sowers? So I feel like we're sowers. I know as a church we're sowers. I feel we're good sowers. Okay, so I am the church. I'm a good sower. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it. Remember, these are red letters. Jesus pushed offshore just to tell him this little parable. Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and at once they sprang up. You ever notice initial growth isn't an indication of bountiful fruit? Okay, an example. Ever been in a service where someone's life was a wreck and a mess? And the worst you've seen, and they threw themselves probably on the floor, like when Mark was worshiping, and Pastor Heidi and Pastor D were on the floor in worship, and God did a transformation that you were there in church and you saw that moment in their life, and it was crazy. And then you thought you'd see him again, and you thought that at least they would plug in for a week, and you thought, right, anybody? It looked good on Sunday morning. I was there, right? Or how about ever going to a gym? You paid for your membership, and you had a great first workout. You're like, yeah, I'm not so out of shape. I was doing it, you know? And then Tuesday, you're going, can you reach my coffee cup? I'll be back on Wednesday or Thursday or in June, right? You start had a great workout, but initially it sprang up, right? But because it had no depth of soil, a solid root system's important, parably speaking. And when the sun rose, they were scorched because they had no root. Look at your neighbor, say, good roots are important. And they withered away. Now listen carefully. Today's Red Letter series, so far, he has said this. Many things want to destroy the seed completely in your life. Your depth matters. And so intentionally, right? Are we sowing good seed in our lives? Are we sowing at all? Are we sowing good seed into others? If I've had no fruit that we've hoped for, like if you've sown, you're like, I'm not getting, why is this not coming back to me? Check your seed, check your soil, and check your roots. Check your seed, check your soil, check your roots. Matthew 13, 7 through 9. Other seed fell among thorns, and thorns came up and choked them out. I got a picture. Even though I got a lot of script, there. That's what I, when I read this for the very first time in my life, I pictured this. That's how old I am. Whatever that cartoon's from, I pictured that. And every time I read it since, I picture that. So from now on, I wanted you to picture it. I need you to carry some of my emotional baggage. There you go. That plant's choking them out. It says, other seed fell on good soil and yielded grain. Some 100 times as much was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. And then Jesus says this. I don't think he's being snarky, but he could be. I don't know. It depends how you hear it, I guess. Depends on your hearing. For he who has ears, anyone without ears this morning? I wonder how many didn't have ears back then. Peter hadn't insulted anyone yet. I don't know. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Speaking Jesus' words of his wisdom, let him hear. Let him hear and heed my words. Let him hear and heed. Hearing it and then doing it because what I heard was important enough to keep doing in my life, like the gym should have been. Don't have to look in shame. I'm talking to me. Let him hear and heed my words. I seriously wonder if the crowd was like, what? Jesus, we all gathered around here not to hear basic farming techniques. Like, you know, honestly, like you're a carpenter's kid, so what do you even know about that, you know? If we can't hear this, then maybe that's what we heard too. But hearing and heeding in this parable is very important. Jesus had a long day, so maybe finally he gets to chill. Say, not today. Not today. Ever have those days? You sat down to chill four times and something unchill took your chill? If you're a teacher, that probably happens about 14 minutes, every 14 minutes in the classroom, you know, every 4 minutes. Okay, that's the national average, 4 minutes. Matthew 13, 10 through 13. Then the disciples came to him like, oh man, I was dipping into the hot tub. I don't know, you know. They came to him and asked, why do you speak to the crowds in parables? I'm speaking to you too, guys. Jesus replied to them, to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You know part of the puzzle. but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has spiritual wisdom, because he is receptive to God's word, to him, more will be given, and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom, because he has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him. Say red letters. So what's an application of this? Have you ever met a person who had wisdom and had a relationship with God and had a revelation in God and they lived it out in their life, but then they no longer live that way today? The truth is, it's gone from their lives. They didn't value it enough to maintain it. To prove what's really valuable, we have to live like it is. If it's really valuable, then we alter, right? This is the reason I speak to the crowds in parable, because while having the power of seeing, they do not see. And while having the power of hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand and grasp spiritual things. Knowledge, application. I can understand how to cut a circle with a circular saw. I understand it. Check out my application. Not great. Like, that'd be like a nine-sided object before I hand it to Mark. This is kind of a circle, Mark. You'd be like, Pastor Sean, you're not allowed to do circles anymore. I understand it, but my grasp of the circular saw is minute, right? Matthew 13, 14 through 15. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. Say deep roots. It's an Old Testament OG right there, Isaiah. Which says, you will hear and keep on hearing, but never understand. What? Like 500 years before Isaiah said this? He says, yeah, I'm going to come down and say things to you, and you're going to hear it, and you're going to keep hearing it, because I'm going to keep repeating myself. I've been repeating myself since Genesis anyhow. I'm going to keep repeating myself, but you're never going to understand. And you will look and keep on looking and never comprehend. For this nation's heart has grown hard. For this nation's heart has grown hard. How's that feel? And with their ears, they hardly hear, though there's churches on every corner. And they have closed their eyes. We have to open and hear differently sometimes, even disciples. The same old stuff that you thought you read for the past 35 years isn't the same old stuff that you needed today. It's a living word. Right? It's alive. Otherwise, it says they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn to me and I'd heal them. Say deep roots. Right. Matthew 13, 16 through 17. But Jesus pops in with the red letters and says, but blessed spiritually, aware and favored by God are your eyes, because you see. You know, that whole classic Christian line, I was blind once, but now I see. That moment you got saved, the moment you saw Jesus for the first time, who he said he was, that he was, and you knew you needed him in that moment. He said, blessed are you because of that moment. And your eyes, because they hear. I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, I assure you, I'm going to hammer this home, and I'm going to say it with a tone that makes you understand you need to listen. I assure you, and most solemnly say to you. When I talk in assurity and solemnness, most people are very uncomfortable with me. Seriously. I have to dial it back 1,000 times sometimes. Sometimes you need to hear something assured and solemnly. It needs to become important. It says, many prophets and righteous men, men who are honorable and right standing with God, so they are capable, obedient, and proven. Many men who were proven longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, and they didn't hear it. So there, imagine that, how frustrating that would be. Imagine said, hey, the Messiah has not come yet. Your sins are not to be forgiven. We're waiting. Honor Yahweh as best you can. And let's pray it turns out well. That's what they had to see in the future. Like, he's coming. Hey, he's coming. That far away, he's coming. They ain't going to pay attention. That's what Isaiah said. He's coming. They ain't going to pay attention to him. Man, way back then, right? Matthew 13, 18 through 21. He says, listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. Jesus said to his disciples, you don't have to guess anymore or wonder because I'm going to break it down. This has been a long day, but I don't want you guys going, I'm assuming it's clear from my God vantage point. I understand that you're humans and you're hungry and you're fussy and the crowd was a much on you today and you're asking these questions, so I'm going to break it down for you, right? He says this, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom regarding salvation and does not understand and grasp it, the evil one comes. Man, I hate that there's an evil one. I know there's doctrine out there that there's no such thing as an evil one, but there's an evil one because Jesus said there's an evil one. Right? The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. We talked about that earlier. So we've seen a great experience, right, in church. This is the one whom the seed was sown besides the road, the one whom the seed was sown on rocky ground. This is the one who hears the word and at once welcomes it with joy. Like, man, good news. Love that. It's awesome. This is a great gem, right? Yet has no substantial root in himself, but only temporary. And when pressure, not say if pressure. I would love it to say if pressure. You know, if pressure would be, Lord, can we just, in the translation I do, can we say no? When pressure or persecution, when pressure and persecution come, I don't like either word. Only if Billy Joel's singing it, maybe. Other than that, I don't like it. And when pressure or persecution come because of the word, immediately he stumbles and falls away, abandoning the one who is the source of salvation. Father, keep me digging deeper. Father, keep my soil and my heart good. Right? Keep me. That's a desperate prayer of a disciple. Keep me there, Lord, right? Say red letters. Matthew 13, 22. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries and the distractions of the world. I wanted to pause there on purpose. But the worries and the distractions of the world, everyone, come on, be honest, you're in church, everyone. If you're not worrying about something, I don't. If you're not distracted by anything, like we're distracted right now. Look at people in church. The worries and the distractions of the world, okay, we might need to hear this part, right? And the deceitfulness of riches, money can't solve lots of stuff. This is one of them. And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it yields no fruit. First of all, are we sowing? What are we sowing? Where are we sowing it? And what are we doing to cultivate its fruit? Does it ever feel like your faith's being choked out during this season? Man, check your soil, check your roots. Yeah, check the soil of your heart. Heart, like, sometimes when I want to take a mountain, he humbles me. I got to humble myself again later today. He humbles me sometimes. Well, I'm ready to go, let's do this. He's like, you're not ready for that. Dude, you are not ready for that. Put that, take that off the rack. There's people watching, Lord. I don't care. You use the bar, brother. You ain't 21 no more. Ah. Right? Are you still letting Jesus' words direct your current life? Are they really directing us? Are they like this real soft guideline? Right. What has the most of your attention? Is it your worry? Is it the world's current situation? Is it your money? Is it your trauma? Maybe it's time to check your mind garden and let these parables in. Right. Matthew 13, 23. And the one on whom the seed was sown, on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands and grasps it. Okay, I believe that. I'm going to take it in. I'm going to apply that to my life, even though it's uncomfortable. I'm going to make a change. I'm putting that in. He indeed bears fruit. Fruit's proof. He bears fruit and yields 100 times, some 60, some 30. Say, listen carefully. This is red letters. Understand and grasp that, right? Examine the soil. Don't let stuff choke you out. It all matters. It doesn't seem like it's matter. It seems like a side distraction. It's side distracting so much. I've been in a conversation with someone, maybe Pastor Sean himself. You're in a conversation with me or someone else, and then they get on their phone, and they start doing this, and then this. Like, before you know it, they forgot they've been talking to you. Anybody? Yeah, if you talk to me, it's probably done it to you, you know. We can't let the distractions keep us from what's important. And it will, because there's an evil one, right? Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Jesus gave them another parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Like, oh, the more farming lessons. But while his team was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds. Say, there's an enemy. Yeah. Weeds resembling wheat. Resembling wheat. It looked like it. Does it have the same fruit? What it looks like it. Does it have the same root? It looks like it. Ever had something in your life resemble wheat? That'll preach. Well, weeds resembling wheat among the wheat and went away. So when the plant sprouted up and formed grain, the weeds appeared. The servants of the owner came to him and said, hey, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then how does it have weeds in it? And he replied to them, the enemy's done this. These are not thorns, but intentional fakes planted among you. We talked about, remember last week, like, be careful what people should preach behind pulpits and say. And sometimes, even in the world of church, I've seen weeds planted that look like wheat and say community Christian fellowship on it. But it's not. It's not wheat. Because it's the word of God has not been used in some of those places. We have to be careful. Right. See, the servants asked him then, do you want us to go out and pull them out? But he said, no. No, because as you pull out the weeds, you'll uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. Yeah, eventually is a harvest, right? That's the purpose of the plant. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, first gather the weeds and then bind them in the bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Can we hear and grasp that this morning? That's some of the tough love, right? We talk about tough love sometimes. You got to say hard things to people, right? Sometimes if you've ever had to deal with an addict, I don't know if you've ever had to deal with anybody that had a severe addiction life, but there comes a point, if they're a severe addict, there come times for tough love every time where hard choices need to be made so they can make changes, right? We have expectations that the heart's got to be good soil. Matthew 13, 31. I'm doing okay. He gave them another parable to consider. Repetition. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Great. Which a man took and sowed in his field. And of all the seeds planted in the region, it is the smallest. But when it has grown, it is the largest of the garden herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can take shelter in its branches. And I see this happen twice a year. Across my street, there's a wash. These little weeds that I pick out of my yard continuously, I see that they're not picked out in the wash. And come 5 months later, there's trees and birds and wildlife just chilling there. These little weeds grow they come through the parks and rec and clear it out twice a year, these trees. And that's that grasp that in my heart. Talking about how you don't know how quickly a little seed can grow into a tree. And what is the purpose? He told us, what's the purpose? That I would be a tree. See me grow? See my fruit? That's not what this parable is saying. He's saying so it can grow, so what? So birds can nest in its branches. Ah, so his kingdom in us is meant to grow in us to the place that other people's lives at time can rest in us. Not saying they need to make a home. Those trees are cleared out. And there's other places, but there are times if people can't rest in your life at any given time, I'm not saying every given time, if you can't have your life, no, you can't depend on them. Why? They just fall apart. And that's said of you 365. We got to grow to the place that other people can rest in us sometimes. Not house in us, rest. The birds of the air can rest in us sometimes. Matthew 13, 33 through 34. And he told them another parable. Say, shocking. Jesus is on a roll right here. You know, he's like, I'm on the boat. I got it. And then I came off and you asked the question. So here we go. He's with his guys, you know. He told them another parable. He said, put on another pot of coffee. Jesus is not done. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And I go, man, leaven? That's, he talks a lot about sin. He goes, oh, this is true in both kingdoms. What you sow into your life and you need into your life will grow, grow, grow. Oh, okay, Jesus. Leaven, which a woman took and worked into three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. You know, I can't wait. Kirsten learned how to make bread while she was in North Carolina recently. I cannot wait to have the fruit of that. I can't wait to see her taking some leaven and doing this. That means I'm getting hot bread later. Yay for dad, right? It's a win-win. All these things Jesus said to the crowd in parables, and he said nothing to them without using a parable. Say, let God be God and search him out. Some things are a mystery, so they keep us hungering for them, and we want to know more. Right? Yeah. Say, deep roots. Matthew 13, 35. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things unknown and unattainable that have been hidden from mankind since the foundation of the world. He said, my purpose on earth is to redeem your soul and to tell you things that the world has been waiting to hear. And I've, on my puzzle, they haven't seen the whole box. I'm about to show you what the whole box looks like. So you've been putting puzzle pieces together, trying to connect with me, and I want you to see the big picture. Paraphrase. Matthew 13, 36. And then he left the crowds and went into the house. Man, I hope he's getting a sandwich or something. You know, he went into the house and the disciples came into him saying, explain to us clearly the parable of the weeds in the field. Like, oh, it's been a long day. Super long day. And you guys aren't the Pharisees, but man, got 58 questions. You know anybody in life that's got like 58 questions every time you meet them? Come on, you can't look around. You're like, don't say that here, Pastor. Just keep moving, you know. Don't look over this way at all. Just keep moving. Right. If I were Jesus, I'd be like, listen, bros. I spent a long day with Jesus. You catch up later with him at the fire pit. I'd be like, Jesus, I'm taking you to the hot tub. I'd be like, Jesus needs a moment, everyone. How dare everyone assault Jesus with more questions? Can you not see that he is overwhelmed? Sean, that's not me, that's you. Oh. Because if you think about it, I remind Jesus of all my prayers all the time. And I don't want to think that I'm inundating him with them. Matthew's been shooting me full of holes, highly. Right? It's time to be reminded this season that we need to listen carefully because it really matters. Say red letters. Matthew 13, 37 through 43. Jesus answered. Jesus is so much better than Pastor Sean. Like, he is so much better than me. I don't know about you, but I feel like he's so much better all the time. You just know it. Jesus answered in his red letter way, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The title the Messiah is given. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. So I am the church. I'm supposed to be good seed in the world. I'm supposed to be good seed in the world. Not because I'm a famous artist, not because I'm a race car driver, not because I have more money than anyone. Not. I'm supposed to be good seed for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world wherever I get planted. And he's telling them that. As for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are angels. I can't imagine, like, man, I can't believe I'm asking this question. What time is it? I'm going to stay up all night thinking about this. Ask those questions to Jesus in the morning. I can imagine what it's like hearing it for the first time. It shakes me now. I almost don't want it to be true. I don't see anything burned up. Anyone, I don't want to see any of that. You know, I was raised by hippies. Just love the one you're with. Jesus is not a hippie, but he's hippie-like. And there's an order. And he cared so much about us, he told us, hey, the puzzle box looks like this. If you'll hear me and you'll plant this way and let me plant you, this would be great. But if not, there's a terribleness to it. I edited myself right there. Just want you to know. The reapers are angels. So just as the weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, so there will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Offend those things by which the people are led into sin. And all who practice evil, leading others into sin, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and sorrow and pain and grinding of teeth over distress and anger. And if that doesn't make you cry, it makes you go, good for them. You missed the point. You don't know why Jesus came, and I would ask you to check the roots of the soil of your heart. That should bother us. We need to let some birds, we said, were stealing the seed. They're representative of the bad guys. He said, yeah, you should be able to let some birds rest in your branches. And maybe they'll eat some good seed. And if they don't get it in themselves when they go to the bathroom, that seed, good seed, will be planted someplace else because you put it in them. Let them rest in your branches sometimes. You're not the harvester. Sometimes you're just the branches. And so often you want them to stay, right, so they could become. No, just let them be in your branches a bit. You know? Whew. That will be weeping and sorrow and pain and anger, gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine forth, radiating in the new life like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And he says, he who has ears to hear. And he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking to the crowd. He repeats that to them. He didn't know the difference between elves and gnomes, maybe. I don't know. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. Matthew 13:45-46. The kingdom of heaven is like precious treasure hidden in a field. Treasure seekers, puzzle finders, right? That's what we are. Hidden in a field which a man found and hid again. Found it, hid it. He didn't have Pinell County. I would have just taken it there, but he didn't have it. In his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys the field. He sells all he has and buys that field. Again, driving points home. Jesus, just driving them home. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Do you see where this is going? Yeah. We do now. And we did the first time we read it. Is it reading anything in us again? Because this is the part, this is a merchant in search of fine pearls. And upon finding a single pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. That was the day we found Jesus. We made that commitment, all of me, for that. You got me. Right. Matthew 13:47-50. Again, say again. High five your neighbor. It's okay. Say, yeah, he's being repetitive this morning. That Jesus. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, a big old cargo net. If you've never seen them, a big old cargo net. Jody, when I take it a smaller, you're going to see them. Which was lowered into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. Of every kind. And when it was full, they dragged it onto the beach and they sat down and sorted out the good fish. This is some good fish. Sorted out the good fish into baskets. But the worthless ones they threw away. So it will be. So it will be at the end of the age. Say red letters. Man, you had to repeat this one, Jesus? I got it the first time. Hearing it again. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw the wicked into the furnace of fire, and that place will be weeping and gnashing and grinding of teeth. That's intense. It's intense. That's why I can't end there. And I'm actually, I got 10 more minutes if you're still with me. So if you need to do this, you know, do it all. No one? Just me? Okay. Have you, Matthew 13:51-52. Have you understood all these things? Can you imagine disciples like, what do you say? No. But you know you don't got them all. He just like, got to, he just answered like, they asked for, can I have a cup of water, sir? And he gave him a fire hose. I guess meant to stand there emotionally, spiritually, just drenched. Do you understand? I'm wet. That's what I know, Lord. I'm wet right now. Have you understood all these things? They said to Jesus, yeah, yes. He said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who bring out his treasures, things that are new and fresh. I love that. What he's saying to you, you guys, called to be the church, the disciples, he's saying, you have to know your deep roots. You have to know what was old. And you have to know the new things that I'm bringing to the earth. You need to know both things. You need to walk in both things because I'm asking you to do that. Both things are important. You have to have deep roots and you have to have Jesus' fruits. And that's important. And Jesus reemphasized it. Blessed man who brings his treasures, new things and fresh, and the things that are of old and familiar. Fresh living and fresh rooted. Matthew 13:53. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he left there. And after coming to Nazareth, his hometown, he began teaching them in the synagogue. And they were astonished. And they said, where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is it not the carpenter's son? Ever have someone in your life, they get saved, but they're so familiar you can't let them get past it? Or you got someone in your life who's made a mistake and they deserve forgiveness, but you really hold on it over their head a little bit. It's going on for Jesus, right? Where did this man get this wisdom, these miraculous powers? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is his mother called Mary? And then he breaks it down. Are not his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not living here among us? And then you got to go, hold on. As a Catholic, can I go, wait a minute, Mary and Joseph have more kids? I'm serious. As a Catholic kid, when I first read that, I went, Mary and Joseph had more kids? I was definitely under the assumption there was only one. It was miraculous. They were done. Virgin birth. Oh. I sat there for a minute and went, wow. I had no idea. I was taught something different. Doesn't mean they were bad. It's just I didn't have all the truth. Right? Where then did this man get all his wisdom and power? So they recognize this wisdom and power, right? And they took offense at him, refusing to believe in him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown or in his own household. Anyone have that ever? I deal with marriage and family counseling. Inevitably, both spouses or a spouse screws up in something. And the thing is how to get the other one to stop doing that thing and the other one to forgive him enough to give him another chance. Thank God for Jesus. Right. And then that person has a hard time in their own home, even when they got a revelation from God. Well, I remember it was 72 and you did this. I remember you yelled at me. I was 4 years old. I remember. It's hard to get past those things. And Jesus is saying, listen, a prophet's not without honor Like, he's heard, my words ring true. But when you go to your hometown, you're just little Skip Sunshine. You're not Pastor Sean Capozzi. You're just, I remember you and you. It wasn't you that carried the thing up the hill? Yeah. Did you ever tell your church that? No. I go home, it's different places. You know? Jesus is saying it's going to be, but you keep being seed from me wherever you are. And be branches for some of those birds. Right? Right? Hometown labels will get you. Right? And it says this, he did not do many miracles there in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Now listen, Matthew 13:58 doesn't say he could not do miracles. It says he did not do many. A choice he made. Why? He says, because they don't believe. I'm not a dog and pony show. I'm not after their healing. I'm after their heart. I'm not after the fame. I'm not after more crowds. I'm not trying to collect more. I'm not trying to do that. I'm looking for hearts. You know, it was a choice. Unbelief from people who should hear and who should see. Say red letters. Go ahead and stand with me. In our red letter review, in your own relationship with Jesus, take this season leading up to Christmas and spend more time with him. Like even stuff that was like really familiar and you feel like you know really well, go back to basics. Go back to basics and dig deep system with them. Because if we're supposed to be branches, right, and we're supposed to be good seed, that means he's going to put people in our life in the next season. He wouldn't be teaching on this if there wasn't some kind of growth coming in your life, if he was checking our roots. You've been crying out. Anybody been crying out, I want to grow. I want to grow physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. I want to. Anybody crying out those things? He said, good, good, I'm here that. Let's go back to basics. What's first is first. What's second is second. Remember, that's how it started off. What's first is first. What's second is second. And if you do this, come follow me. Give me everything you did like you did the first time. Remember? And watch me do even better things than I've already done. Has he done anything good for you ever in your life? Imagine him doing better things because you dug into the basics this year, your relationship with him, right? As a disciple, where he's expected to be good ground, we're expected to have good seed. Why? Because Jesus said we could be. So get the guilt and shame off your shoulders. Don't let anybody throw shade on you. I know this was most of y'all's hometown, and I think you're amazing examples of Jesus Christ. And I'm proud to have you in this church, and I'm glad we're here in the track and AJ, and I wouldn't want church any other place other than maybe Pine Top. I said, no, you know, just a little plant up there. I'm just saying. That would be Sean's flesh. I'm just saying. But this is your hometown. And I look around and I see all sorts of faces. I can send birds to go nest in your branches. So this isn't coming from a crack in the whip. This is just, I'm reading what the Savior said in red letters to us. And I hope you hear it with fresh ears for wherever you're at. I know this morning he poked me a little bit before he, in the second song, reminded me how much he loves me, which I was really grateful for. Right? So if you're called to be the church this next season, put your hand up. Lord, I thank you to release these red letters into the world, Lord God, and they make an imprint and a burning, Father, into the ground, and they'd saturate the roots, Father God, and they would be the most fruitful they've ever been this year, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, Lord God. Every part of their house would be in order, and you'd pack their barns full. You'd pack their barns full, and they would not be selfish or stubborn or arrogant, Father God. They would take that seed, and they would go out, and they would sow it wherever they can, however you ask them to, Lord. This would be the year that not only birds could nest in their branches, Lord God, they could take down deep roots in some things in their life and be a constant tree of supply. I pray that over the new season, Christian Fellowship, and every other church that we have relationship and heart with, Father, that loves you, and the churches that I don't know that love you so well, Lord God, I pray that for them as well, that your church would expand our root and fruit system this year, and that the unsaved could come in and get into the church branches without it ruffling us. A branch is not breaking off because too many birds are sitting on it. That's a weak tree. Father, I ask you to make the church a strong tree. That's our logo. Wow. Jesus' name, amen.